to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and we'll begin our reading in verse 14. Luke 22:14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. I want to preach tonight a message entitled, The Honor and the Privilege of Partaking of the Lord's Supper. It struck me as I was meditating upon this passage of Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ, the most important, the most significant person in all the world, sat down with his disciples and instituted the Lord's Supper, an ordinance that would be perpetuated until he comes again. What an honor it was for them to be in the midst of one who had come to fulfill the work that his Father had given him to do. The one on a holy mission to redeem all of God's elect by bearing their sins in his body on the tree, shedding his life's blood so that they might be forgiven, justified, sanctified, and prepared for the glories of heaven to stand in his presence throughout all eternity. He was in their midst. And he was instituting an ordinance that Baptists have been observing for 2,000 years. And it struck me as I thought about Christ instituting this holy ordinance. What an honor, what a privilege to be able to sit down and commune with our Lord tonight. You see, he is in our midst. The great head of our church, Jesus Christ, walks in the midst of the golden candlesticks. He is here. And what an honor it is that we can remember the one who loved us and gave himself for us and direct our thoughts, our affections, our desires, our worship toward him. It is an honor and a privilege to partake of the holy feast, especially when you consider that in order to partake of the Lord's Supper, there are several things that have had to happen in your life to come to this place where you can observe it in one of the Lord's churches. I don't believe anything happens by accident. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. If you are a member of Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church, It is because God has placed you here and added you to this body as it has pleased Him. Tonight, if you, as a member of this church, are observing the Lord's Supper, here's what it means. First of all, it means that before the foundation of the world, when God sat alone in the solitude of eternity, before the world was ever spoken into existence, before a bird ever flew in the sky or mountain peaks graced this earth, God the Father loved you with an everlasting love. He chose you in Christ, unworthy as you would ultimately be. Because when He chose us in Christ, it was before the foundation of the world. It was an unconditional choice. We're not worthy of it. We don't deserve to be a partaker of the affection of a holy God. I'm a sinner. To the very core of my being, I was once in darkness. I once lived in the cesspool of my own depravity, a stench in the nostrils of God, not seeking after God, not longing for the presence and the glory of Christ. I was of this world, directed, controlled, dominated by Satan. I was a rebel against the government of God. I was against His laws. I hated Him by the way that I lived. In spite of everything He knew about Tom Ross, and He knew it all, He still loved me. And how that ought to humble your heart tonight. That He has favored you with grace upon grace upon grace. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You see, if you're going to partake of the feast tonight, it means that you're one that God has loved with an everlasting love. What an honor! It moved the Apostle Paul to tell the Thessalonians, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called us by our gospel." Chosen of God. It also means that in time, that was God's purpose before the world began. In time, it means that we were miraculously born of the Spirit, regenerated and brought to spiritual life by the sovereign work of the Spirit. What power God exercised in bringing us out of a state of deadness and darkness. Out of a pit that we could never get out of in and of ourselves. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. We weren't seeking after God. We were running away from Him. We didn't love His law. We despised it. We didn't understand the things of God. We were in darkness. We saw no beauty in Christ. We didn't relish the death, the burial, and resurrection and all that it meant because we were blinded by the God of this world. And under His dominion and captivity. But you see, in that grand covenant of grace that was framed and formed before the world began, God the Father loved us and chose us. The Son agreed to die in our place. But let us not forget the work of the Holy Spirit who agreed to bring us to spiritual life. To bring us out of that deadness, out of that darkness, into life and light in Jesus Christ. That is a miracle. Because you were in darkness. God is light. He had to give you a nature that corresponds with His holy nature. In order for you to see what you needed. And it is a miracle of grace to be born of the Spirit. And there's no formula for it. Jesus didn't say, now here's how you're born again. He just said, you must be born again. If you're going to see the kingdom of God, if you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And then He tells us who the author of the new birth is. It is a sovereign, powerful, invincible work of the Holy Spirit. To bring someone who had no heart, no desire, no longing for God and for the glory of Christ, to bring them out of that darkness and give them life. So as you partake of the Lord's Supper tonight, it means that you've undergone a radical change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're not talking about a religious exercise. We are talking about an inward transformation performed by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we have the honor and privilege of partaking of the Lord's Supper tonight, it means that we have heard the effectual call. That we've been enabled by the grace of God to repent, to turn from our sin and our wickedness and believe the gospel. You see, we've been converted by the power of God. He, in the new birth, He gives us spiritual life. In conversion, He gives us the ability to see what we need and who we need. What we are and what we need. And He enables us. He gives us the gift of repentance. Because that doesn't come naturally. It's more than just being sorry for your sins. It is a godly sorrow that leads to a change, a renovation in the way that you think, the way you act. Your entire life changes when you repent and believe. It's a miracle. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We've been converted by the invincible power of God. The Bible says over in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, this was Paul's mission that he was called to do, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I am so thankful that I am not as I once was. That my life has been changed. That the call of Almighty God has been effectual in my heart and in my mind. I am so grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ Because I know what it means when He said in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." I know what it means to be drawn by invincible power and experience converting grace that's changed my life forever. If you have the honor and the privilege of partaking of the Lord's Supper tonight, it means that God has been pleased to open our once blinded eyes to the glory of the gospel and the joy of Christ's finished work on our behalf. Jesus said that He laid down His life for His friends. I'm amazed that the shepherd loves his sheep to the point of identifying with them and then taking all their sins upon His body. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. You see, the one that we are gathered tonight to worship in His name is the one who loved us so much that He was willing to become a man, to fulfill all of the law that He had instituted and created. The God-man, Jesus Christ, put Himself under the law and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the most humiliating form of torture and persecution and murder. He was willing to do that for you. He was willing to have people lie and blaspheme and falsely accuse Him. He was willing to be taken out to the pavement and have a Roman soldier skilled in the art of torture rip His back until His flesh was nothing more than bloody shreds of skin. He was willing to be spat upon for you. He was willing to wear the crown of thorns and to be mocked and to have those people come around and hit Him on His face. He was willing to be betrayed, to suffer emotionally. Our Lord was willing to be nailed to that tree of cursing and to hang between two thieves, the scourge of the earth. And He was willing to say, "I thirst," because He was bearing the fullness of the punishment of the lake of fire on our behalf. You see, tonight, if you have the honor and the privilege of being a part of the Lord's church, it means that you're chosen, regenerated, called, redeemed, justified, bought with the blood of the very Son of God, Jesus Christ. And I will never forget the day when He opened my blinded eyes to see the glories of His righteousness, the the day that He gave me the grace that He died for me, that all of those sufferings were for me, that He took all of my punishment and all of my sin, and He suffered all of that wrath, and He put it all away so that I will never have to, never, ever have to spend one moment in the fires of hell. But I am a partaker of His finished work. Tonight, if you are to receive the Lord's Supper, it means that we're not only chosen, regenerated, redeemed, justified by sovereign grace, but we have the added privilege of being added to the Lord's church by Baptist baptism. See, in order to partake of the Lord's Supper in the local church, you have to be saved, but you also have to have, you have to have Baptist baptism, and you have to be a member of that local church. That's the way Jesus set it up. And as I thought about this, the people that He sat down with, most of them lost their lives due to persecution. One was a false professor, Judas Iscariot, who committed suicide. He was never saved. And John, the beloved, they say, survived being boiled in oil and was exiled to Patmos. And he may have been the only one that escaped persecution by death. But the rest of them that gathered around the table that night, they are all Baptist brethren. See, Jesus started His church during His earthly ministry. It wasn't a Catholic church. It wasn't Presbyterian or Methodist. He walked 60 miles to be baptized by John the Baptist, a man sent from God with authority. And tonight, by God's grace, I have the same kind of baptism that Jesus had. That's an honor to be a member of the Lord's body, His church, that as an institution has been perpetuated by a holy succession and will continue on throughout the eternal ages from the days of Christ when He started the first New Testament church up until this time. There has never been a time when His church has ever gone extinct. It's never needed to be reformed. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When He gave that church the Great Commission, He told them to go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize the converts, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world, the end of the age, and we're part of that holy succession. What an honor! I'm not ashamed to call myself a Baptist. And I know it's only by His grace that I'm part of the church that Jesus started. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Do you know Baptists through the ages are really the only denomination that has fiercely stood for the truth that you're saved by grace, not church affiliation? Roman Catholic Church, if you really understand what they believe, you've got to be a Roman Catholic to even have a hope of sniffing heaven. Jesus Christ, the church He started, He told them to go out and preach the gospel. That's how people are saved.
They're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Baptists have been preaching that for 2,000 years. And I am so thankful that I've been added to one of the Lord's assemblies. So as we partake of the bread and the wine tonight, let us remember our Lord who conferred all these privileges upon our unworthy heads. I don't deserve to be here tonight. I deserve to be in hell. What an honor to sit down with our Lord and His people and commune with Him as we partake of this sacred ordinance. Oh, that God would give us grace to see how worthy He is of all of our worship, our adoration, our praise. I'd ask all the members, if you would, to get in the center pews there.